B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
This generation rules the nation with the version. Boom boom bididili didili boom 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 bididili bididili boom boom boom. Pass the duchy on the left hand side. Pass the duchy on the left hand side. Pass the duchy on the left hand side. Pass the duchy on the left hand side.
I was negative 13 when this song came out.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy. Whoa, amber is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
A sports hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studio. Oh, hell yeah. I'm looking right now in the studio. This is going to be a good morning. Not only do we have the great Ted Johnson once again filling in for Fred, but sitting across from me is the guy I need to talk to this morning as I fill out my brackets. The man, the only person whose advice I take. You're here. Liv Schatz is like, you know, kind of. Liv Schatz is good. He's not Joe Murray good. So Joe Murray, the man has won tons of money. I think out of like the, maybe like dozen bets I've placed with you, I've lost two?
You're probably up over 2.5 units, I would say.
I don't know what a unit is.
You're probably up like $2,500.
Oh, well, without a doubt.
Maybe in that area.
No, there's no question because I went on that run with you like right before Christmas, and I think... That was over $2,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kept saying, let it ride, let it ride.
Yeah,
let
Ted,
it ride.
Every week, they're like, hey, what do you guys like this week? And we'd give a pick, and Rich would take that pick. And then one week, he was out. I think he was up like $800. He was out, and Fred was like, let's just put it all on this bet. And it hit. He came back. He was up $1,600.
Fred was like using my money. And I was like, oh, what? You did what? And then I was like, all right, whatever. It was kind of like, wasn't my money really in the first place because I'd won it all. And then we hit. And then we hit again and again and again. I finally lost last week. But I mean, you know, listen, you lose two out of...
You can't win them all, man.
You can't win them all. You lose two out of a dozen games. This is the guy to know. And like... Weird ass stuff he's got inside info on. What did I win on cricket the other day?
Oh, that cricket game was outstanding. I was up at 4 a.m. watching that thing. I got someone tipped me off. Hey, you got to try this one. I think it was Melbourne, to get it right. Yeah. Someone said, hey, Joe, I got a tip for you. Take Melbourne in this game. And that was one of the picks of the week that we had.
That game was over at about 6:30. So it was during our show. And, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I realized just how many degenerates there are gambling on that game because I must have gotten, like, 100 tweets. Dude, the Melbourne, the Koalas just won the whole thing. And I was like, holy crap. So, and by the way, I guess it was, like, a come-from-behind.
Yeah,
like a,
final at-bat. I don't know what the hell they call it. Final cricket hit.
Hit with the cricket thing.
A walk-off.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to piggyback off you at Christmas time. It sounds like you got a little nice little kind of... windfall during the holiday time to buy some extra gifts. So that's good to know. Joe, if you follow Joe Murray on Twitter, man, I mean, nobody works harder at putting out, you know, kind of your predictions for games. I mean, some of the most obscure games ever.
Oh, sure.
Like Fairly Dickinson last night.
I mean, it is unbelievable. all season long, Joe has got predictions on games that, like, I mean, I'm telling you, like, nobody's watching,
okay.
But he's watching.
Is there anything more annoying than you didn't get the prediction right betting Twitter?
Most people are, they want to know. Like, I'd say fade or follow. That's my big thing.
Yeah.
Hey, here's my pick. fade it or follow it, go one way or another. I got to tell a story from last night. I have to do this. So it's March Madness, obviously, and everybody's people are now doing their brackets and, you know, putting in their $10 bets. So I consider that gambling as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
If you're going to be in a pool, whatever. But don't get on me about, and Ted, you can probably speak on this. Don't get on me about the addiction part and how people have problems with gambling and things to this degree. It's March Madness. And if you don't like it, don't follow. But I had a guy last night. Okay, come at me and say, you shouldn't be betting on this game. You have a real gambling problem. Think about all the people out there that suffer from addiction, whether it's eating or this or that. And I'm like, hey, dude, man, like, dude, don't follow me. Like, it's March Madness. What do you think? I come to find out the guy's a weatherman in Martha's Vineyard. And I'm like, and I just made a little jab at him. I'm like, hey, I think we get it a little bit more right than the weathermen do. And I just threw a little jab out there. Come to find out he blocks me, and people start sending me the tweets. And one of the tweets is like, Jim Murray on 98.5, the sports hub. He's a gambler, but he all got the name wrong. So, like, you know, there's Joe, there's Jim. But
so
like,
Jim's getting all your hate tweets.
Oh, yeah. So I had to apologize to Jim last night.
Okay, so he's a weatherman on Cape Cod?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's kind of random.
It is funny.
Oh, and the vineyard. It's just specifically the vineyard.
Yes.
When
people come at you on Twitter, though, it's really fun to find out their profile.
Yeah.
To find out what it is and who they really are in real life.
Yeah.
More times than not, the people that come at you with like vitriol and just kind of just go below the belt. More times than not, I don't know. This guy, if this was what you would consider like down and dirty kind of below the belt stuff. But when it comes at me, like to find out kind of what they do for a living, who they are, is always fascinating.
How deep down do you go? Like when someone tweets you something negative.
Yep.
Like, are you an investigator?
I can't. I have people who can investigate for me. They can find out information on that person. And I was going to tell you this today, Joe. I was going to tell you, there's people that have my back on Twitter. So if you come at me where it's like you get personal and you cross the line, watch out. I got Twitter army coming at you, man.
True.
People that they take it upon themselves to be my personal defenders on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
When it gets personal, if you're just having good natured kind of back and forth, that's one thing.
Or even you suck. Like, that's fine. Well,
right. But it's the down and dirty where you go, man, that was across the line kind of thing where people will go after people that come at you. You need to get like a Twitter army is my point. You got three of your boys that just like will have Joe Murray's back when there's somebody that comes at you in ways that's just down and not right.
You know what's okay? So I want to get a little into this in a second with you because you know if I found out that Ted Johnson was trying to find out like where I lived or what I was doing or where I worked, that freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
However, the one thing that is kind of awesome is, you know, I've been doing this for so long and you get so many, you know, negative tweets along with the positive ones, but you get, you know, so much that you just become numb to it. It doesn't really bother me as much anymore. But the one thing I do find funny is that there's a lot of people with anonymous Twitter accounts who I actually know who the people are. Because you're going to get ratted out by a friend of yours. So like people every once in a while just send me, hey, by the way, this guy who anonymously is doing this is who it really is.
That's never happened to me before.
I've been tipped off on that stuff.
And I just don't say anything because I win that way.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them to know that you know.
No, because then, like, you know, if this person, like, let's say, for example, because there's two types. There's people that I actually know who they are, and then there's people I just know their names, and I know their faces, and I don't know, like, I've never met this person. But when it's somebody who I actually know, maybe someone in the industry.
Oh,
I love hearing them like talk to me and stuff as if they weren't the ones who wrote all of these horrible tweets. It's like, yeah, you know, like that. But just keep going. And you know, sometimes, you know, it helps you when you are evaluating like who you want to trust, you know, who you want to possibly, you know, bring over to the station.
Man, but isn't absolutely, but isn't that fascinating to me? I never understood in this business, you guys, when I got into it in Houston, is the kind of the, you know, radio on radio crime, you know, when radio guys go after each other.
Sure.
I always felt like, you know, there's, like, in you watch a football game. After a game, you know what we all do after the game? We all meet at half field, shake each other's hand, and say, hey, good luck, stay healthy. And that's just the way it is. Like, you compete on the field, and then when it's all done, your friends are. I just feel like there's always enough to go around in this business. And when radio guys go after radio guys, when they go anonymously and they try and get to you that way, that, dude, you're a low down, dirty dog, man.
I kind of like, I mean, it's going on forever.
But.
Sure. And I kind of like to stay out of a lot of that. And as I said, a lot of it truly doesn't bother me. However, there is definitely a cattiness to this industry, which I've.
Unbelievable.
And I don't know why.
I think it's job security. Like, I'm a part-time guy. I've been at the station 7 years.
Yeah.
If I'm on with somebody else, someone else gets worried about their job. Yeah. It happens all the time. I really do think it's job security. But you guys get contracts. So it's like, you know, hey, you call me to come in, I'll come in. Well, but it's like, I do think some people do have that job security.
And the other thing, too, is like, I mean, you know, we have a pretty great job. I mean, when it comes to, like, amazing things to do, you know, I get to come here and jack around for 4 hours and, you know, talk to Ted Johnson about, you know, smashing a dude with his, you know, the bloodlust of wanting to run a guy off the road. You got Joe Murray over here. I mean, it's honestly, it's like, it's one of the best. So, I mean, that stuff doesn't piss me off that much. I mean, the personal stuff every once in a while, you see, it's like, what are you doing? But you're right. There is, it breeds this really weird hatred. And I don't have time to have a burner account. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, who does this? But, you know, it is kind of nice knowing, like, who a lot of these people are. You know, someone's going to either rat you out, or you're going to log into a computer and forget to log out, and someone's going to see that it's your burner account. Ooh. Which has happened before. And that kind of stuff I find hysterical. And I never tell anyone that I know it's them if it is somebody who I know personally. So to me, that just makes it more fun. Just how far will they go?
Well, yes, more fun. Yesterday, you guys were talking about, you know, Ted had that moment of, oh, I can't wait. Like, hopefully somebody breaks into my car or whatever.
Here we
like,
go.
You know, my whole thing with Twitter is like, I don't think, like, Ted's a big guy. I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
I'm 380 pounds. I'm 6'3", 380 pounds. Now, I was a little bit in shape years ago, but, like, come on. You would never say that to my face. That's what I get upset about. I can't handle the tough guy behind the computer. I can't do it. It's like everybody in person wants to shake your hand, tell you you're great.
Yeah.
Then over there, it's like, that's what bothers me the most.
And we're not supposed to respond, right? And yeah. They can come at you, and then you got, and the one thing that's tough about Twitter, and then they don't, and you guys don't have it anymore, but it sounds like you used to. And I don't know if my old station in Houston has it anymore. I still think they do. Is the text line?
Oh,
the people that come at you on the text
that
line.
That was terrible.
All right, and so it's really anonymous because they're not putting it out there. You know, not everybody sees the text line. Obviously, at the radio stations, just the people at the radio stations that have access to that site. Anyway, it's amazing when they have so much information on Rich and Joe and Ted, and you have zero information against them, it's such a not a fair fight. That's the hard thing, I think, is when people are coming at you, is with all this information they have on you, you have zero information on them. So it never makes it, it's never a fair fight on the text line or on Twitter.
You see, I'm weird because I love getting a ton of, like, input and feedback during the show. Some of our listeners are unbelievably clever, and they say funny as hell
stuff.
So, like, they'll submit some things. It's just, it got to a point where I'm getting way too much information that at some point I got to just concentrate on doing the freaking show instead of like reading a computer. So now it's like, obviously phone calls get first priority and then Twitter. If you contact me through Twitter, I can't look at everything else now. Like I know that I don't think any people at the station would like me saying this. I never look at the phone lines, like the text line.
Text line,
never. I haven't opened up the text line.
I don't even think it
years.
Works anymore. I used to have a guy, Rich Show, the co-host.
Oh, hasn't been gone for years? Okay, well, there you go. Oh, it just goes to show. But I haven't opened it in years.
He would stare at the text line as he's doing his radio show.
You can't do that, man.
What are you doing, bro?
You can't.
Get your eyes off the text line, man. Let's go. Come on. Engage in the show, man.
All right. Well, I need to find out a little bit more about your trying to find who the people are on Twitter who are contacting you, Ted Johnson, and whether or not you've ever intimidated any of these human beings when you found them. Because that is, to me, that is the best. Because you find out that Ted Johnson is a real human being on the other end of it, you're going to crap your pants if he finds out that he knows who you are. So just know that if you have a fake account, people will rat you out and Ted Johnson will find you. Just keep that in your head. 617-779-0985. What a win last night from the Bruins. Let's get into that next level hockey. On top of that, some news with the Robert Kraft case that we will get to in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the sports hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 9:05, the sports hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Got Ted Johnson in studio and Joe Murray filling in for John Wallach, who's going to be doing the play-by-play tonight. Right here on 98.5 Sports Hub for your Boston Celtics against the Sixers. But the Bruins, they are playing next-level hockey right now.
Hickey lost it. Chance here for the Bruins. Nordstrom over the line into the left circle. Into the slot. Bergeron, he scores! Patrice Bergeron with a laser-fast release. He stepped it inside that air post. Bruins 4, Islanders nothing.
Yeah, the Bruins just flat-out embarrassed the best team in the Metropolitan Division on their own ice in yesterday's 5-0 ass-kicking of the Islanders. From the moment they stepped on the ice, the Bruins were playing with an enormous amount of pee and vinegar. Sean Corrali burying one just over a minute after the puck dropped.
Right circle, fired, they score! Sean Corrali with a shot at the right dot. Yeah, traffic out in front with Chris Wagner, locked up with an Isles defenseman, and the Boston Bruins are out to an early 1-0 lead on the island.
I have to tell you, I like the Islanders fans. They were booing the Islanders after, was it 2 or 3 goals? I thought it was way earlier.
It was after 2, I think. Yeah.
I mean, it was just, they were dead.
First place team. Yeah. They just went in there and shut out a first-place team. I think they dropped a second last night to Washington. But, yeah, the Bruins absolutely dominated. They only gave up 13 shots.
Yeah.
13 shots in the whole entire game.
Great defense.
And then you had Sean Corrali. He had his first goal right there, his first goal in 23 games, led to his second goal in 23 games when he scored yet another one in the next frame. But in that first period, as you were saying, the defense – smothering, causing this high-scoring Islanders team to only register, 2 shots on goal in the first period, 6 shots, I believe, in the second. And then you got Nola Chari, who added to the Bruins' total by burying that just-happen goal.
Great goal.
After that unexpected turnover right in front of the Islanders' net, which was phenomenal. However, we all know exactly why the Bruins have been killing it as of late.
Here we go.
And that is The TNR bump is real.
Far corner, Cizikas had it, lost it. Islanders get it back. Out of the boxes, DeBrusk might have a breakaway. He'll scamper into the slot, forehand, shoots, he scores! Jake DeBrusk rambled down the slot, had an extra step, and he just ripped one right over the glove hand of Robin Leonard. What a shot, 4-0 Bruins.
Take a bow, buddy, take a bow.
It happens every single time. Whenever Jake DeBrusk comes on the show, he scores. He comes on for the first time in weeks after going through that scoring slump. Boom. Slump busted. He comes on the second time. Scores 2 that evening. He comes on the next time. He buried a game winner. So ridiculous that even he at the time acknowledged the TNR bump.
Shout out to Toucher and Rich as well. They'll kill me if I don't do this. And thank you guys.
It's real, man, and it's kind of freaky. As a matter of fact, yesterday came on, and even the official Boston Bruins Twitter last night.
I thought that was cool, man.
Yeah, they said, hey, Toucher and Rich, this thing might be real. Yeah. Well, it's real, and it's getting ridiculous. So to my good friends at the Boston Celtics, we'll take any starter come playoff time. If they want to see the TNR bump can be spread throughout the TD Garden, let's get it for the green team as well. Why not? If you join, what's that? What's that, Dan?
I was going to say, you either need Judd to do it during a play-by-play, or Beers to do it after a goal on the analysis of it and say, the TNR bump is real. That would be
awesome.
That would be epic.
Well, Jack threw that in there.
DeBrusk has already acknowledged it. The Bruins, this is the second time the Boston Bruins' Twitter handle has acknowledged that the TNR bump is really kind of freaky how it works. So, yeah, we should get Surratt or Beers on there next time he ends up scoring.
Don't kid yourself. Jake is like, he might act like he's kidding, and deep down, he's like, we got to keep this. Guys are so superstitious.
Oh, yeah.
Guys are so superstitious. And this thing where he comes on with you guys once a week and chats it up, and you guys talk about this, in his mind, He wants to go come on TNR every single week until this season is over, because in his mind he's like, dude, there's something to this. Let's keep this thing going, man.
Well, Ted, it started off kind of like as a joke, and I remember we had him on when he was going through that really bad slump. It was right before Pucks and Paddles, and he was even saying, I honestly try to do strange things to get myself out of the slump. He goes, I'll drive to practice a different route. I'll wear different socks. Mm-hmm. I will just try to do anything that I can credit for, hey, this being the thing that my slump was busted. And after that, we said, well, you're going to score tonight because you're on our show. He even had mentioned the other day, yesterday morning when we had him on, we were like, you're going to get another TNR bump tonight? He goes, I count on it, man. That's why I'm calling every week. And he hasn't missed a call. When he has been healthy, because he was injured, a little 2 weeks ago or last week. When he's been healthy, he's called in, and every single time since that slump bust, he has just been on fire. So either way, this team looked phenomenal last night. Here's Bruce Cassidy after the win.
You know, you're always concerned. Did they just not have it tonight, or was it just us with great legs and great determination, decision making? It's probably a little bit of both, but I can only judge us, and I love the way we played.
Well, as for David Pastrnak's return, he had a quiet stat line, but looked comfortable on the ice. I mean, he never looked slow. His line generated 11 scoring chances, so obviously. He looked pretty good.
He was a plus one on the night. I think 3 shots and just under 14 minutes last night.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't. I mean, you know, he obviously didn't score, but he looked good, and the line looked good, which is the most important. But here he is on his night.
Felt pretty good. You know, I was physically and pain was actually really good. The first shift was actually pretty tough, but yeah, I felt good. You know, physically and pain free, so it was great.
So there's something going on with this team. We've been seeing it for a couple weeks now, but that game, as you mentioned, Joe, wasn't supposed to be a cakewalk, and they made it look easy. However, the Bees do own the Islanders. They've won their last 7 head-to-heads, and the not-far-from-home road trip continues with the Bruins taking on the Devils tomorrow night. Only 9 games left in the season.
Wow. Yeah, and by the way, they went over the total. They had 95 points, I believe, was the total this year for points. So they went over.
What did you pick?
We went under. We took the Celtics under as well. That will hit. So because they're not going to win 60 games. So, but yeah, Bruins went over the 95 points for the year. One thing I wanted to mention: Tuukka Rask 3-0 this year against the Islanders. Like, he's been outstanding.
And yeah.
I think the addition of Halak. You know, one of the big things when you mentioned 9 games left, but. You know, how many times has Tuukka Rask been worn down at the end of a season? And, mm-hmm. you know, with Halak in play, I think that's going to make him refreshed and ready to go for the playoffs.
That's a good question. I would like to see what his workload is, like how many games he's played this year as compared to years past going into the playoffs. Because, I mean, I've got to think, I mean, because Halak has been so effective that, what, maybe like 5-6 games fresher? I'd have to look at the numbers, but, I mean, just every little bit helps. But maybe we'll take a look at that here in the break. Let's go to Mark. On line 3, our good friend Mark from Medford. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys. Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs.
You have to keep the interviews with the Brus going. Did you hear the stat that Dale Arnold pulled out last night?
No, what was it?
When the Brus scores a goal, including the playoffs last year, they're 17-3.
Jeez.
17-3 when the Brus scores a goal. That's including the playoffs last year. But the Bruins played nearly the closest thing you can play to a perfect game last night. It was almost flawless. And no such thing as a perfect game, but I think that's the closest thing you're going to get.
Okay, so Mark, you have in the past been a pretty big critic of Tuukka Rask. I don't want to call you a Tuukka hater, but...
I can't put him in the doghouse right now. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I give credit when it's due, my friend.
Well, I mean...
When he sucks, I'll say it. When Halak sucks, I'll say it.
Oh, you will.
When anybody on the team sucks, I'll say it.
Anytime there's a game.
See, that's the one thing about Bruins fans, and you guys say it all the time. When they suck, we come out and say they suck.
Which is good, which, by the way, I always thought that, you know, the best fans are the ones that are the most critical of the team because they actually give a rat's ass about the product. I've always hated
another
that.
One more thing. I do not miss Tory Krug 5-on-5 whatsoever.
Yeah, but you understand now, because I know you called in and you said that you didn't believe that he was actually injured, but now it's pretty much
I guess he
certainty.
Is. I mean, yeah. Third game, no?
He's definitely
well, you
injured.
You know what? I think when he comes back, I think Cassidy should use him more in the capacity as just 5-on-5 play when you got a power play, put him out there. I think just him on the ice 5-on-5 is a hindrance.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. All I know is I saw some website tweet out a picture of these 5 people that they predicted to be up for the Jack Adams, and one of them wasn't Bruce Cassidy. And I'm like, what are you thinking? Bruce Cassidy's been pretty damn good. Now, he's not going to win it. I mean, there's obviously a lot of better contenders, but, I mean, he should at least be in the conversation.
Yeah, I think the Islanders coach is probably in the mix as well. I mean, just turning that team around. But, yeah, he should be in the mix this year. He mentioned Krug. One thing about Krug, like, he's really not a top four defenseman anymore, but I believe he's, like, top five in points on the team. So it's like you have to play Torrey Krug.
Sure.
And the big issue last year was they didn't get secondary scoring. I know he's a defenseman. He's not your best defenseman, but he's an offensive player, and they're going to need him in the playoffs.
All right. Well, this Robert Kraft story just keeps getting weirder. We're going to talk about a plea deal, a very strange one. I'm not any legal expert, but I've never heard of this before. Apparently, it's normal, but we will get to what Robert Kraft was offered by the people down in Florida right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you all out and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is it a requirement that every band covers Take On Me? It's like you have this, you've got the Weezer one.
Is that the original band? Is Outfield?
No, Aha. But I can see I get it mixed up, though. Aha, however, had a million hits, so it was tough to pick which one was the best. But then you had like Pitbull ripping it off for. I think everyone. How many covers of Take On Me? I bet if I went on Spotify right now and looked Take On Me, I bet there's at least a dozen people who have covered that song. It's a good song. The original song's a decent song. I remember I showed my kids the video thinking they were going to be blown away. They're like, dude, this sucks. It's like the technology is like completely outdated by like 20 years.
Is there a cover song like you actually like, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's. You see, you can do a cover song, in my opinion, one of two ways. You can either remain completely faithful to it and not mess with it if it's like a classic. That's why I didn't even have a problem with Weezer's Africa. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people hated it. I thought it was fine. Or you completely own it and make it your own. Like you.
Like I like Johnny Cash Hurt. I really like that.
Because that's one of the greatest covers of all time.
Yeah.
You're right. And the video even made it better because you could take that song and the lyrics and almost apply it to the life of Johnny Cash. And that's kind of his whole MO anyway. Yeah. You know, he's very dark and his songs are about, you know, regret and Hurt's kind of the perfect tune for that. Actually, Rusty Cage is pretty good. His cover of Soundgarden's Rusty Cage. But yeah, I mean, you got to make it your own or be completely faithful. That was fine.
So what's the other option? I mean, so what's the cover song that you go, okay, what were you guys thinking there?
It's
either one or the other. It's either they stay true to the song or they make it their own.
Metallica's Turn the Page. I'm sorry. I love Metallica. But, like, the Bob Seger, that was
like that bird, huh?
That was a bad.
It's fine. You see, it's fine. I love their cover of Whiskey in the Jar.
Yes.
Like, that's excellent. And I turned the page, just kind of like, all right, a little bit hokey. But, you know, there's certain bands who just take a song and completely rearrange it. And I like War Pigs by Faith No More when they do Black Sabbath. It's one of the best covers of all time. There's a couple other ones. I'll have to think about it for a second. But, real quick, before we get to this Robert Kraft story, let's go to John on line one. John, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Is this Dick?
Hello?
Dick? Yeah, is this Dick?
Who?
Hello?
Richard, you know, Dick Richard, you know, same thing.
Anyway.
Yeah,
Ted Johnson, man, that guy's a bore, man. Can't you get anyone better than that in there? Pretty lame.
Okay, why is he lame?
Well, he's just like some big, dumb jock.
You can tell he's got the road rage. And tell him that he's going to beat up people. And so I'm not afraid of the child clown. If I saw him in person, I'm sure I could take care of him.
You could take him real quick. You could take care of him?
I'm not afraid of that clown.
What's your issue with me?
First of all.
What's your issue with me, man?
You're saying if people complain about you on Twitter, you're going to go after them. Like, oh, yeah, you're a big tough guy. You're afraid of some words and guys. That's the real tough guy. Yeah, real tough.
Because I have friends that defend me on Twitter. That's why.
I can't really hear anything with your muffled voice. You talk a little louder.
Well, you're trying to bully people.
I'm not bullying people.
Real quick, I hate to butt in. Is his phone crappy only in my headphones, or is that everywhere?
No, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Okay, John, do me a favor. I will give you $100 if you show up to the studio this morning before 9 o'clock. I'll give you $100 if you come in here and sit next to Ted Johnson, because you said you would have no problem doing it. I will pay you $100 to come in studio and talk to Ted Johnson this morning.
Listen, I'm not promoting violence.
He's not going to punch. We're not going to fight. But I would give you $100. First of all, I can't hear you talk on the phone because your phone's horrible. But I will give you $100. Will you come up? Will you come up to the studio before 9 o'clock?
And why do you want to come to the studio?
Why? Because you said you'd come right up and you'd say it to his face.
Well, I'm just saying, the guy's like, he's trying to bully people. Why would you try
That's the last thing like I'm doing. I never said I was bullying people, okay?
No, he said anyone who got personal with him, he would like.
And that's not me. I have people that will defend me on Twitter. That's all I'm saying.
He would defend himself. But, John, you said that you would come up face to face to Ted Johnson. And that, I don't believe you, but I will indeed pay you if you do. So if you come up to the station before, will you do that? Will you come to the station before 9 o'clock? I'll give you $100.
Listen, I just wanted to say a few words. First of all,
you won't. I'm not carrying on this conversation any longer if you refuse to come up here.
Don't try and blame
me. All right, then that's it. I mean, you can call in, you can say one thing, you can talk a big game, but I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been fun.
That's amazing to me, though. He would take that kind of offense for what I said about people coming at me on Twitter and going personal with me on Twitter.
My whole thing, if you're going to call in and you don't like who's on, like, at least give a take. So, you know, like, don't just say, hey, we suck. Like, bring something to the table. That's, like, the one thing I hate more than anything. Oh, you guys saw Ted Johnson knows nothing. Like, why don't you bring something to the table? Why don't you try to outsmart us with something else? Plus, his muffled phone, it's probably somebody we know. You're right? I mean, seriously. Like, I couldn't talk into a normal phone. Had to be muffled like that. It's definitely somebody
we know. I have no problem people calling in and like, you know, and ripping on the show. I think it's kind of funny. But I just like the fact where he comes right out of the box. Well, first of all, he comes out with the awesome dick joke, which was fantastic. But then he goes, you know, I'm not afraid of you. You know, I would say that to your face, and I would actually like to see that. That would be kind of fun. Don't you think that would be fun?
I get your back, Ted.
I'm the last guy that anybody I think would call bully. That is just not me at all. The only thing I said earlier in the show was if people come at me with really inappropriate, very vulgar, below the belt, personal kind of attacks on Twitter, all I said was I have friends that will defend me on Twitter. That's all. That's all I said.
And if you follow this guy's career, like, he's always been a smile on his face.
So we're talking about, that's the one thing, you know, like,
smile
last
on his
week
face
with
and a helmet to your sternum.
And, you know, yeah. Beating people up with Ted. Like, fighting is not not in my nature. Being aggressive is not in my nature, well, except on the football field. But to come at me like that, you misunderstood me. You have me all wrong, sir. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. So, hey, I apologize. You don't like, you know, what maybe you're hearing on the radio, but man, it's. I'm doing my best here, man. I'm absolutely doing my best. If I can't please everyone, that's the deal. But what happens on Twitter? There's just sometimes people can come at you with very personal attacks, and we were talking about that. And all I said was there's people that will defend me. If people go to places that what they deem is inappropriate.
Someone said $100 and I get to meet Ted Johnson, I would do that. Someone just tweeted us. We'll take your calls. Also, we'll get to this Robert Kraft stuff right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, Ted Johnson, and Joe Murray. Limp Bizkit's Faith. That's a bad cover.
A bad cover?
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, no, that was a hit. That's what put Limp Bizkit on the map.
A hit, because something's a hit doesn't mean it's a good song. In my opinion, it's an awful song. And that's not because I'm just jumping on the everything sucks about Limp Bizkit bandwagon. I'm not saying that. Nookie's actually an all right song. Yeah. When it comes on, I dare you to change the channel.
It's true.
It's all right. I'm not going to lie.
Great live. I've seen them live as well.
Yeah, douchey live. Oh, yeah. Head for the barricade. Oh, Ben Stiller. Oh, I can't stand Fred Durst. I really can't. And I'm not against that whole like era of rap rock. I mean, there were some decent bands that were in there. Yeah. Like some that like should have sucked but didn't. I've always thought Linkin Park was fine. Like, you know, they were kind of that era. There were some of those like, I didn't like Static X. I didn't like those guys. Now I'm going through all the Ozfest lineups and like the ones that would play at like 4 p.m, like have like one hit and then just disappear. Not like the Tools and stuff like that that would, you know, be the co-headliner with Ozzy. But no.
I went to a summer sanitarium. Metallica and Limp Bizkit opened up for them, and they were like outstanding. I couldn't believe how like good they were. They were really, really good before Metallica.
Well, if you want to just laugh, watch that Woodstock 99 video of them playing. I mean, that was as close to a riot as a concert that you can see. I mean, that was absolute insanity.
Have you seen the new Woodstock lineup? There's three. I believe it's Woodstock 50.
Have they released the entire lineup?
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. There's like 3 or 4 days. Some pretty good names on the list. I'll find out.
All right. Well, the Robert Kraft, this whole thing is just getting weirder and weirder. As if it didn't stop, didn't already start off extremely weird. So the state attorney's office is now saying that it's going to drop the charges against Robert Kraft if he admits that he would have been found guilty at the trial of soliciting a prostitute. And apparently this is a standard first-time offender plea offer. I've never heard of this before. But the other part of it would be not just he has to admit, hey, you would have gotten me, but he also has to submit to an STD test, take a class in the dangers of prostitution, and complete 100 hours of community service and pay $10,000 in court fees. Do you honestly think Robert Kraft would have said yes to taking an STD test, which would have gone public? Not that anyone thinks he has it. It's just the pure humiliation of having to take it and the public sitting there waiting for it.
That's why when I think of this case and him saying, you know, hey, all he has to do is cop to it, admit it, and then pay a fine, go to these classes, take an STD class, and have to sit and actually, I think they were going to go over the evidence with him. I think too as part of the deal. That the 100 hours of community service, taking a class, and then getting an STD test, there's no way I could see him ever wanting to do any of those. Mm-hmm. Even though that his record would be expunged, even though this would all go away if he agrees to this deal, I just can't see him doing the three things that they want him to do if, you know, to make this thing go away.
Yeah, there's two sides of the story. The first one is, after hearing that news yesterday, it just confirms my opinion that the police department down in Jupiter is effed. I think they completely went past their jurisdiction. They abused their powers. And you hear about the things that they did that they could get in real trouble for, like the fake traffic stop, the installing of cameras when there was no evidence of any kind of human trafficking. Think about this. When this story came out, you had all of those guys from the police department down there saying human trafficking, human trafficking, human trafficking over and over. There has not been one arrest for human trafficking out of the 47 different ones that were thrown out there. Not one had anything to do with human trafficking. So I believe that there's a spotlight now there. They want this to go away as much as anyone else, because people are going, man, you did all of this for misdemeanor prostitution, like stuff that would be as bad in that state as smoking a joint. Are you kidding
me? Don't you think it could be the other way around? Almost like they're just kind of, they're saying, dangling this carrot out there, like, hey, if you don't take it, we got you on video, regardless of how they got the video. And even the health department, the health inspector that went to inspect that is the one that tipped off the police department to get them in there to even put the cameras in there. So I don't know. I don't know all the legal ramifications, that maybe there's something that they can say that, you know, look, you didn't go, was incorrect protocol. And so, charges should be dropped. That's fine. Everybody already thinks he's guilty, though. And that's the whole point. Everybody thinks he's guilty. So why don't you just make it go away by admitting it and moving on? The more you
this is making it go away, and he has to slog through this, because if he gets off on these charges and is, you know, and they end up dropping it, which I think that his lawyers are scaring the snot out of him right now, and they're saying if this tape gets out, everybody who is associated had their fingerprints on this. We are going to make your lives over.
I wouldn't.
We are going to end your life. You will never be able to get a job again. We are going to sue the pants off everyone. So every dollar you make is going to go to the crafts. If you end up releasing this tape that you have, if indeed it was obtained illegally. On top of that, they're now saying that this is a guy, TJ Quinn, who's been covering it for ESPN. He's like one of their investigative reporters. He said, there's two main goals right now for Robert Kraft, getting as much distance as possible from the trafficking allegations, which once again, no one's been arrested for trafficking. And keeping the video evidence sealed, he's close to getting his wishes. They said under Florida law, the law enforcement officials expected it would be released, this video. However, the evidence is going to be sealed if they release agreements. Legally, if Kraft keeps a part of a deal, it's like it never happened. However, they are going to file a motion to seal the evidence anyway. So that offer is out there. And I have a feeling that these guys have just started to scare the snot out of everyone in that police department, saying if this even sees the light of day, you are all toast. And these guys are powerful enough to do that, too. And on top of that, you were talking about the punishment off air of what he would get from the NFL. And a lot of people have been comparing it to Jim Irsay. And during the break, you took a look, Jim, and you found out that when Jim Irsay, I'm sorry, Joe. Okay. When Joe got, or when Jim Irsay got pulled over, you know, he was drunk, and he also was found, he pled guilty, right, to having prescription drugs?
Yep, and he was supposed to get 60 days in jail, only got 58, so he served 2 days in jail.
Okay, then,
but he admitted to it.
But he was found guilty, and he admitted to it. And he got six games?
Six-game suspension, $500,000
Well, you can't compare. If Robert Kraft ends up beating these charges, you can't compare these two.
He'll still get suspended.
But it's not about beating the charges. I mean, like, as far as, like, what his punishment is from the NFL.
Man.
I think it's never been about that with players. I mean, it's always kind of been like, look, they don't wait for the outcome of a trial or what the charges might be for a player, right? I mean, what's the difference with the owners? And here's a quote from the commissioner after the Jim Irsay issue that happened back in 2014. He said this. He goes, I've stated on numerous occasions that owners, management personnel, and coaches must be held to a higher standard than the players. That's what Goodell said in a statement at that time in 2014. Now you fast forward to this last incident here with what we're talking about here with Robert Kraft, and this is what the statement was from Roger Goodell after the Robert Kraft incident. He goes, our personal conduct policy applies equally to everyone in the NFL.
But if they end up determining that if they drop the charges, he technically did nothing wrong. So how can you punish him? I have a strange feeling that if these charges get dropped, that he's not going to get a suspension.
Oh,
and I know all of us immediately would go,
Four games. It'll be compared to an HGH violation.
Man,
the commissioner can do whatever he wants. Four games. One pleaded guilty and got six. I guarantee it.
It's about the shield and protecting the shield.
I guarantee it's four games.
Okay, so well, like anything under four games, I win?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I'm in on that too, man.
So you're on Joe's side?
Oh, I'm definitely on Joe's side. Okay. I would be shocked. Because there's a lot of NFL owners, I guarantee you, that are leaning on Roger Goodell.
Oh, I think the owners are scared. I think they're scared, man. Because I think they've all got skeletons in their closets.
Jerry Jones.
But no one's got Jerry Jones. Absolutely.
But they didn't get caught.
I think this is one of the few cases where the owners might be stepping back.
Maybe.
And letting things play out.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm telling you.
I can see backdoor channels. There's a lot of calls to Roger saying, hey, man, there's a lot of people that want to stick it to the Patriots, unfortunately.
This is different. This isn't to the team.
There's a lot of pressure, too, though, from different groups, advocacy groups out there that want to see Robert Kraft get punished for this.
For something that he might end up having the charges dropped and say, I didn't do anything. I went and got a massage, because legally he would be able to say that if the charges are dropped. Okay, I'll take that bet. I'll take a hundred. You want to do $100?
$100 on this? Are you kidding me?
Is that too low?
I got you. $100
It's always too much.
Whoa, really? All right, fine. $100
Okay. Okay.
I got
so
you.
Our bet is...
So it's four games.
Okay.
So you got under...
Anything less than four games, I win.
If it's four, it's a push.
Okay. If it's four, it's a push. And we're not counting like the fines and stuff like that. We're just as far as just pure games. All right. I like this bet. Excellent. All right. Because I'm going to win it. Because he's going to win this case. And I guarantee you this is the one time the owners are going to go... I'm not saying a word. Just keep the spotlight off me. Because I guarantee you every owner's got dirt on every other owner, and they wait to release it for when it's to their advantage. All right, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.